word. All right. Welcome to the newest installment of 365 Days of Deserving. I'm really, really excited today to have Randy Buckley with me. She's one of my absolute favorite coaches and writers on the internet, and I'm super thrilled to be able to share her work with you. I think that a lot of her work is really brave and really revolutionary, and I get a lot out of it. So I'm excited to bring it to Medicinal Marzipan today. So, Randy, have you introduced yourself a little bit?
Well, I got a little surge when you said that. That was really very, very generous of you. Thank you. So they call me Randy, Randy Buckley, and in my coaching work and in my emerging writing, I really like to stand in the fire with women who are at a crossroads, and whether that be really big decisions that they're making or tricky, sticky conversations that they need to have with themselves or with others, and really try to find their truth and then speak it. That's what I do, and I love it.
Well, excellent. You're really good at it. So, I'm curious, around this idea of deserving, what do you think you deserve out of your life? How does this idea of deserving manifest in your day-to-day?
Well, I think there are a couple of ways deserving manifests. I think there's what we wish we thought we deserved, and I think there's what we think we deserve. And those are two different things, and we generally get what we think we deserve. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably not a surprise to most people watching this or listening, but it's something that we have to be really cognizant of and aware of, that we can actually lean a lot more into the what you want part of that equation. So
what do you want? What does your ideal day look like?
My ideal day is I'm waking up in Monterey Peninsula in California, where I tend to wake up, or in Norway. And it starts with my little guy, who's almost 21 months. That's a big part of that. And it seems to involve sunshine. And then it seems to involve this really fun coaching practice. And really good care for him, which I'm still looking for.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, it definitely seems like with a lot of your work, like you're inventing your own path, you know, you work for yourself, you have this practice that you've developed and these amazing courses for women that you've created. And so I'm curious, have you always made up your own rules in that way? Or is that something that's more of a new phenomenon for you?
I've always made up my own rules in different ways. Sometimes those have been in the context within other structures. And that looks a little bit different than it does right now. So right now, it's feels like it's the Wild West in terms of figuring out what you want to do and doing it. I love how you say that, making up your own rules, because they can change too, even the ones that you make up. Sometimes they no longer serve you, so you're constantly evolving from those rules. But pretty much I've always had a little bit of an outlaw, a rebel archetype in me. So I've always been very interested in finding out what really works, not just for me, but for individuals, for people, because, you know, same rule is not going to work for everybody, the same structure. So really finding, essentially, that authentic resonance and tuning in from there.
I really love that, too, because I think that for me, one of my, the things that really feels good to me is reserving the right to change my own mind. And like, that's that huge idea of deserving for me. It's like, I deserve to change my own mind if what I'm doing isn't working for me, or if, you know, it seems like I'm going to need to take it back to the drawing board or whatever it happened in the day. And so I'm curious if there were moments that you can remember where you weren't honoring your authentic self, or if something was happening for you that you realized that you had to really pull back and really write a new narrative, create a new lifestyle, or radically change things?
I think it's, it's happened a lot over and over again. And I don't think there's a problem with that. I think essentially we're always kind of peeling back to the core. And I really have this belief that we're always our authentic self. Sometimes we're just more of our authentic self, you know, even if it's just a 2% something that we're doing that doesn't feel right. It's not true, but there's still an element of us that is resonating with at some level.
Mm-hmm.
So we bring it, we experiment with it, we try it out, and then we find, oh, okay, no. That's not working. And it's actually been the times where I haven't honored that I've actually really had a hard time mentally, emotionally, or physically gotten ill. Something wasn't right, and it seems like sometimes it's taken the universe has taken a 2x4 to my head to help me see the light. And that's been really, you know, painful at the time, but really helpful. So it's something I think that we're constantly doing. You know, going to that next layer, peeling back the layers, and really getting closer to the core all the time.
Excellent. That's a really good answer. I'm curious if, like, you know, we've already talked sort of about how your ideal day, your coaching practice is a big part of that. But I'm wondering what other aspects of your life really light you up, like, you know, even things, meals you really like to eat or places you really like to go, things that, you know, vibrate or resonate for you on a very high level.
A good meal will always always vibrate at a very high level for me. For me, that's yeah, I really, really love that. I really like going to movies.
What kind of movies do you like?
I like all sorts of movies. I don't like apocalyptic aliens or aliens are coming movies, but I like all sorts of other types of movies. I really dig that. It does seem like a really long time since I've been able to get into a book and sit down and have it on the book to get it on, which is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
What else lights me up? I get lit up by a lot of things, but sometimes it's just really the company I'm with. I'm very happy to spend some time in my end, and I actually really need that. And having really delicious, nourishing company, whether they're old friends that I'm reconnecting with, or people who just, there's something so cool about them, so fascinating that you really want to dig in and kind of listen, kind of more of a soulful listening. That is really quite sumptuous.
Hmm.
And dark chocolate will always finesse any situation.
That's crucial. Dark chocolate. Absolutely. So I'm curious in terms of the, especially your connections with other people or with the people who are really important to you in your own life, I'm wondering how those relationships and connections are enriched by your ability to be courageous and speak your truths and really honor those conversations that are more difficult to have, because I think for a lot of people, they don't necessarily have those conversations because they're frightening or overwhelming. And then they also don't reap the benefits of really being themselves or allowing themselves to shine in the context of their relationships.
Well, I feel like if you're avoiding, and I may have to have you repeat a couple parts of that because it's such a rich question, but when you really go out of your way to avoid touchy topics or sticky situations, particularly conversations with people you care about, you're essentially keeping part of your mask on, not being your full self with them. And not that you have to blurt everything out and say, ah, this is all of me, love it. But it's a little bit like it's that little pebble in your shoe that's always there when you're going on a walk together, then it's rubbing, and it may not be a big thing. You're like, nah, I'm not going to clean out the pebble from my shoe. But it becomes a big thing a little while into the walk, and it's really something that it's not even just about the two of you. It really becomes painful for you. And you don't know what it's getting in the way of, what it's preventing. Maybe you could have, to use this analogy, gone a different direction in the walk. Maybe you could have gone further. Maybe you have discovered something really, really exceptional. But it's there and it's rubbing. And I think when we're not able to share whatever that thing is or share how we're feeling in that relationship, that comes up and it becomes a part of the relationship. It's like, becomes part of the constellation of it, whether we're aware of it or not. And just like any constellation has different gravitational pulls on the people in the relationship. So.
Excellent.
Well, if there was more to that question I didn't answer, because I got really into the imagery of go ahead and ask.
No, I think that that's really, really good. You know, because I mean, I do believe, I think that the analogy is really excellent. And so I'm curious what sorts of brave words you might have for somebody who was listening to you say that and realizing like, oh my God, I have a pebble in my shoe and I've been like limping around with this pebble. And now, you know, now what's something that maybe they could begin to do to be more honest, even just with themselves about what they might be avoiding?
I think first of all, getting really clear on what that pebble is and knowing what would be possible without it. I think that's really, often coaches want you to see the pain in something, really feel the pain before you switch, and that can be effective. But if you also see the possibility within it, because we're aware of the pain, we're living with the pain of it all the time. If you also see what's possible, and really seeing what that issue is. But then also, when you asked what came to mind, is really being clear about why you want this other person to know that. Or if you're talking to yourself, what's important to you about this? What's it going to change for you? And really knowing, particularly when you're going to have a conversation with somebody else, knowing what your bottom line is. So by that, what you want them to know and how you want it to land. And really what's at stake for them. Because I think if you're able to factor into what's at stake for them, essentially putting yourself in their shoes for a moment, you're really able to frame it differently so that it can land in a really lovely place.
Excellent. Well, I think that is a wonderful bit of advice and also a great place to wrap up. I want to thank you so much for honoring me by coming into my site and sharing your really wise and kind words with my audience. So I was wondering if there's any other last couple of things that you felt like you wanted to say on this topic, or anything that you would want the readers to take away or to know about you or your work.
Well, thank you for having me. That probably goes without saying, but it should definitely be said. And that thing you can't articulate becomes the thing that directs you and what kind of moves you forward. And until you're able to name that, I don't think until you're able to, but naming that and getting clear on how you can be different without that or honoring it really will make all the difference. Even if it's a small shift, you'll end up in a very different ocean. Very different shore. So it's worth it. It's worth exploring it. I'm happy to talk to people about that. That lights me up.
I love that. Absolutely. And you have two wonderful programs that go without saying, or should not go without saying, that people can use to begin to have those difficult conversations. And one is the Maybe Baby course, which is both an e-course and a self-study version, right? Yes. And you also have a new product, which is for having these difficult conversations. So I will definitely direct people to your site in the comments or the text below. People should check you out. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.